in your complexity.
Blog Talk Radio.
Are you a woman experiencing life transitions and who wants to be recognized for your whole potential? Join me and my co-host, Dr. Pat, as we discuss what it means to use your full power to be the best version of yourself. Imagine stepping into the energy of saying yes to yourself, as we both have done. This hour is packed with tips and stories on what it means to become whole, to integrate into your true self, and reframe your story in any given situation. Stay with us on this journey of self-discovery, powerful solutions, and unpacking the nature of who we are and why. You've already nailed your first step to your best self by tuning into this show. Now, here are your hosts. Everybody, welcome. Welcome to Nailed It Radio with me, Dr. Pat, and I get to really sit in on the show with the host of the show, Carrie Nail. Look, one of the most important things that we've been talking about on the show is we've been talking about when we are looking at our lives that have now changed, what are the different aspects of it that we realize in today's world we're not talking about? What about post-pandemic parenting? Yes, post-pandemic parenting. What do I mean by that? Well, you're going to find out from Carrie why it's important and why it may be different than anything you've done up until this point. Carrie, this is one of these topics that if we don't talk about post-pandemic parenting, folks will not know that they're in a completely different realm, a realm they've never been in before. Mm-hmm. This is a great topic.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. And good morning. So, yeah, so our topic is post-pandemic parenting. What is it? And how can understanding your personality preferences help you navigate through this time as kids are going back to school and navigate this more effectively? So when you asked me to do this topic, you had seen that I had done a positive parenting workshop based on the Myers-Briggs type indicator, and you said, could you do this, you know, for now, for what's going on right now? And I was very excited to do it because, as you know, I'm very passionate about helping people understand who they are at their core through the Myers-Briggs type indicator, because I've been doing this for 20 years. I got first certified when my son was 4 months old, and I got exposed to some parenting books on Myers-Briggs, because I just learned about it, you know, you do it in a business setting, corporate America. And I read the book Nurture by Nature by Paul and Barbara Teeger, and it all made sense. And I was thinking, well, if managers, you know, at work are needing to manage their employees based on their personality preferences, why wouldn't parents parent their children based on their personality preferences? And so I was just excited to do this. And so it also, when you asked me to do this, it also builds on the previous shows we've done on coping with stress and how to communicate more effectively using the Myers-Briggs information. Because as a parent, especially if our personalities are different than our children's, we need to know who we are first and how we deal with stress, how to cope with stress based on ourselves, and how to communicate more effectively, especially with people who are different than us. And a lot of times our children are different than us. And so I want to step through all those scenarios, those preferences, and talk about, because also when we were talking about doing this show, you were giving me some links to look at, and I moved forward with that, and I just came across all this wonderful information. So, for instance, like ABC 7 News talked about how the pandemic's been so hard for everyone, and for parents, there's an extra layer of caring for our kids during this tumultuous time. They felt a lot of decision exhaustion while dealing with work, home, and, you know, getting their kids back to school, everything in between. parentmap.com talked about how to practice kindness, compassion, and patience as we return to the new normal. And Palo Alto University did a webinar on YouTube about the mental health of parents and children.
Yeah.
And then on the bright side, Washington Post on parenting, they said they heard a common theme that even in the worst circumstances, parents were finding something to worth celebrate, to keep, to hold on to, and that was a slower pace of life. And so now we have this opportunity to look at what worked and what didn't work before the pandemic, during the pandemic, and now let's let go of the bad stuff or not so good stuff and keep the really good stuff.
That's really why what you're talking about is so extraordinary, because here's the thing that, you know, we just find out. Let me just say we found out over the past 18 months. And let's start with what people may or may not know about Myers-Briggs. Let's just start with the more common conversations, introvert versus extrovert. I mean, that is when people hear the phrase, they've heard the phrase before, right?
Yeah.
That's not the only aspect.
And that's probably the most common one, people.
Most common.
And then they don't go beyond that sometimes.
But even with those two, there is discovering. Let's talk about, from your perspective, the introverted child if you are not an introverted parent.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, let's start with the conversation, because you have to understand each other. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, there are some kids that really thrived in this environment. They were by themselves. They were in their rooms. They were able to focus. They're like, leave me alone. And
don't
others that were not.
Don't make me go back to school.
Yeah, don't make me. That was me. But talk about this for a minute, because we don't really think about this. We don't think about the fact that, wait a minute, I'm an extroverted parent. I do not understand why my child will not come out of that room.
Right. And so I think there's some images of one is an extroverted parent who's got all the kids in the car, and it's like taking them to do things. Oh, everything's opened up. Come on, kids, let's get in the car. Let's go to the zoo. Let's go to the grocery store. Let's go run errands. Let's go to birthday parties. And because that extroverted parent, they get their energy outside of themselves by being out and about around people and by doing things and being active and talking. Whereas an introverted child, their energy comes from within. So they need quiet time. They need to process things alone. And so the idea of going back to school, especially when they've been able to do school from home without having to be around people, because other people actually take energy from the introvert. So the introverted child needs more downtime to recover their energy. And so a strategy for extroverted parents, instead of going, okay, here, go back to school and drop them off at school and figure it out, is go slow, make a plan before school starts. And, you know, if there's young children, bring one or two friends home, to your home, and let them, if you have a backyard, let them play outside. I guess that was the extroverted, the extroverted child. But, just take kids, have a play date with one or two children first, and then, you know, maybe take them to the park when it's not so busy. Maybe take them to the grocery store when it's not so busy. Just slowly indoctrinate them back into being around people and not push them too far. Just make it slow. Make a plan. And also when an introverted child comes home from school, when they go back to school, is let them have some downtime alone. Now, you want to be careful and not let them have too much downtime, right? But let them have some space. They need
to be, can I ask you, let me just interject here, because really what you're talking about is it's more than an understanding. This right here is so important, what you just said, and vice versa, which we're going to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
But the hardest thing for an extroverted parent, 5 minutes of a child in a room by themselves is 5 minutes too long.
Yes.
I just want to put it in perspective in a minute, because what you're saying, and this is what you teach, Carrie, what you're saying is this aspect of understanding is so important, and I'm so glad you reminded us of this teaching you do on this. Because if we could just understand a few of these things, the tension gets cut,
mm-hmm.
the stress, less arguments, the perception that my child is sleeping in their room because there's something wrong with them, not really.
Or even if they're playing a video game.
Oh, yes.
Let them play that video game even for an hour. Yes. Oh, my gosh. But that's what they need to do to recover, and then it's time to start on their homework or engage at home.
Yeah. I want to ask you, and I know we're going to touch on a number of things today that are really important for people to understand. And, you know, the recognition in not just the people you've studied, but the work that you've done is, here we are, how do you parent an introverted child? We talked about that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's also the other side of it, which we're going to talk about. You know, how do you parent an extroverted child if you're an introverted parent?
Yes.
And, you know, some people think it's like the opposite of something, but it doesn't necessarily have to be.
Right.
And, you know, we're just talking about one set of dynamics,
mm-hmm.
right? We're
yes.
not even talking about if the parents are introverted and extroverted.
Right.
Right?
Right. Yeah.
Let's do this. One of the things I want to do is, you know, I want to take a really short break. And when we come back, let's flip the coin.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say and talk to all of those introverted parents
mm-hmm.
that just has these super active, take me here, take me there, play with me. I want to go out. Patience is going to be an understatement in our next conversation with Carrie now. What do you think, Carrie? Short break?
Absolutely. Thank
when
you.
We come back, lots to share. Carrie Nail is an expert in this arena. Have you ever thought about this? Did you think you're really throwing the towel? You're not sure what to do next? When we come back, lots to share with you. We'll be right back.
You're driven, and it totally shows. Your career is taking off. You're killing it in the mom game. But did your health needs make it on the plate this week? Tune in to the Boss Up Babe radio show, where Carissa Adkins helps babes show up, boss up, and thrive. Every second and fourth Tuesday at 12:30 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Become the boss babe you were meant to be. To sign up for one of Carissa's group coaching programs, visit 365DailyHustle.com.
We'd love to hear from you on Transformation Talk Radio and live on Facebook. Call into the show, 1-800-930-2819.
TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Have you ever felt like if you just had the right tools and resources, you'd be able to carve a path for the life your heart is aching for? Guess what? You have everything you need inside you. I'm Natasha Ognedo, and I'm here to show you that your healing is in your hands. Tune into my show, Unlock the Healing Path, every second and fourth Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To learn more about me and my work, visit NatashaOgnedo.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Post-pandemic parenting. Carrie Nail is an expert in this arena as well as understanding this arena from the perspective of personalities. Look, before we get going here, how do people find out more about you? How do they find out about this particular mentoring and teaching you do, Carrie?
Oh, thank you. Well, you can contact me at Carrie@CarrieNail.com, or you can go to my website, CarrieNail.com. That's CarrieNail.com. And I start with my clients where they're at, and we look at their situations, and I help them move forward by asking them questions so that they can come up with their own answers.
I love this aspect of this work to help us understand. And I'm just going to start with this little ditty and then really take it away. You know, for a really long time in the workplace, I didn't understand my type. And I would come into work really early, but I would shut my door.
Mm-hmm.
And the perception of that to my team was unapproachable, not available. Because I happened to work with a team of four people, all of them were extroverts,
mm-hmm.
found out later. And when I got the feedback, I simply opened my door.
Mm-hmm.
It changed everything.
Yes.
This is an oversimplification, but I'm talking about it because we're getting ready to talk about, you know, what happens, right, when we're talking about an introverted parent
mm-hmm.
and an extroverted child. And I'm not implying that my employees were children, but I am implying that the dynamic perhaps may be the same.
Oh, absolutely. And it wasn't oversimplified what you said. It was that's just it. It's simple things like that can help understanding each other's energy. And so if you are an introverted parent, your energy comes from within and you still need quiet time. And if you have extroverted kids, some strategies, what you can do is, you know, is have children come, if they're small children, have them come over to your home. If you have them over to your home, if you have a backyard, let them go play in the backyard, or you can be inside where it's quiet and you can observe them, or take them to a park where it's safe. And again, you can sit and observe and watch them and let them, you know, scream and yell. I think there's a picture of a little girl kicking a ball and of an introverted parent who's sitting there writing quietly about their children. And the other thing too is it doesn't always have to be on you. If you have a group of families that you trust, make a plan with them to let all the kids come to their place too and hang out and play. And if they're teenagers, you know, hang out and be loud and everything, so that you also give yourself a break from all the energy. And when you are with the extroverted kids, make sure you give yourself plenty of downtime afterwards to recover from all of that extroverted energy.
There's so many layers of this and so many places for hurt feelings. Let me just say it like that.
Mm-hmm.
What do I mean by that? On both sides, whether you are an extroverted parent and an introverted child or an introverted parent and an extroverted child, let's just talk about that. You know, it's hard to explain to someone that loves to be out in the world
mm-hmm.
that you don't want to and it's not personal. What do I mean by that, Harry, right? It's, I just don't have the energy to do it. You know, and when you're a child, you don't know how to say, Mom, I just don't have the energy. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just don't know the words to say. But I think that, you know, when you're working with parents and we're looking at how to learn language, how to communicate around this, then there is a beautiful corrective action that can be taken.
Yes, yes.
But don't you find a lot of times, and please talk to this, introverted children get categorized in these boxes of dot, 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 dot. Extroverted children also get categorized and misdiagnosed.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about how we gain a better understanding, especially if you are, you know, you're that introverted mom and you have an extroverted child and you just don't understand why they just don't want to take a nap. They're 21. Why don't you want to take a nap?
Right. Well, yeah, and that's just it. Just understanding that energy, that your child's energy is different than yours, whether you're an extroverted parent, an introverted child, or vice versa. Two examples. I just was with a good friend of mine last night who's an extroverted parent with an introverted 19-year-old, and she took her to Belgium, and my friend was up at the crack of dawn, and she used to, like, rouse her daughter out of bed and go, let's go sightsee, let's go have breakfast. And so we had just talked about the differences, and when she took her over to Belgium, she's like, I'm just going to let her sleep until noon while I, the extroverted parent, go out and get my breakfast and do some sightseeing on my own. Then when I come back, my introverted child will have had all the downtime they've needed and are ready to go out and about when that child is ready, because they just don't have the energy to do what the extroverted parent does. And then my sister-in-law was over the other night. She's an introverted parent with an extroverted child, and she would always have the kids over to her house. And I said, well, did you ever, you know, ask other families to host the kids, you know, the extroverted kids? And she goes, no, I never thought about that. She goes, I just always did it and then always felt exhausted when they left. And so, and she's like, gosh, and that's the other thing too. A lot of times moms end up being, it kind of taking on a martyr. I have to do it all. I have to do it all. And they don't know how to ask for help because they don't know what help to ask for. They don't know that their energy flow. They just think that they're getting grumpy after all these kids have been over. And if they could just realize, wow, I need some downtime afterwards, who can I ask to help me? Other parents, other families, spouse, grandparents, caregivers, to go, hey, can you take over the kids for a little while I just need some downtime.
Right. And, you know, when we think about this and we look about how we are communicating and what our desires and needs are, this is the most critical part. What you're teaching people is an understanding,
mm-hmm.
not just an understanding of self, but an understanding of each other. And, you know, one of the things that I don't think we talk about enough, and we're going to talk about it as we move forward in the show, because there are other aspects to personality that yeah. we're going to cover, is that you have to start from the place of understanding in a way that says, my child is not broken.
Yeah.
I'm not broken. And a lot of times what happens is if you don't understand the personality types, right, Carrie,
yes.
you go to a place is something's wrong. And yet, maybe nothing wrong. Don't you feel this is one of the greatest misconceptions that we have when we don't understand personalities?
Yes, because we've been taught, we probably, especially my generation, we were taught by our parents, one way fits all, everybody. You know, one way of parenting. You parent everybody the same way. And then that's where you see issues like with ADHD, and that is a real thing. But if a child were recognized that he's more open-ended, more big picture, and structure is challenging for them, whereas a more structured parent isn't, just knowing those things can help not try to fix your child. Now, sometimes those methods are needed, but if you have an understanding at the core level of your child about why they're doing that, you may be able to put in some natural strategies without having to go to medication or whatever like that.
And what we're saying is, too, that, you know, it might not be one or the other. One is not mutually exclusive. But if we can understand that maybe a part of it is that you're working with a child that is a little bit different than you. Their
yeah.
energy comes from different places.
Yeah.
You know, mom, you may need to go in the bedroom for an hour and turn on Oprah. Okay,
yeah.
that's all right. As your child is banging on your door, mommy, can we go get ice cream or something, right?
Yep.
And
go ahead,
Carrie, because
I just ran into a mom in my building, and she's like, because we've had this conversation, she goes, guess what I did tonight? I said, what? She goes, I made dinner and I set it on the table for my husband and son, and I went to bed. I said, you guys know what to do with this. I'm going to bed. And she goes, that doesn't mean I went to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, that's exactly what I did. I turned on my favorite show, or I journaled, or I just let myself be and let them have their energy and said, okay, you know, it's time for me. I got to go into my bed now. Yeah.
I want to take a short break. When we come back, as I said before, there's something here that is even deeper than this. And we started at what we call the most common elements of understanding and personality.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it does get a little bit more interesting as we now start to move down to what are some of the other characteristics of personality.
Yeah.
You know, what are some of the ones that when you put them in combination, for example, an introvert that's intuitive.
Mm-hmm.
What happens when you put that together with someone that just wants to be analytical about it?
Mm-hmm.
What happens when your child just doesn't answer you right away and you could see them thinking?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean they're slow.
Right.
Carrie Nail, everybody, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, get ready to dive deeper into a personal reflection of oneself, but also how about a better understanding that allows for no one to be broken. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
It's time to shake out your money-making truth on Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show is more than your roadmap to success. It's your compass to abundance, your joy, and ease. Jennifer Bloom teaches you about the soul's relationship to money and wealth and how improving that relationship serves both you and the world. Learn more at JenniferBloom.com.
You've been listening, but are you watching? Tune in to your favorite shows on the Transformation Talk Radio Facebook page. We stream live video podcasts every day.
Diane Solano has launched her new show, Powered Through Health. Tune in for educating, entertaining, and inspiring interviews with experts from around the globe. Diane's passion is developing entrepreneurship among individuals worldwide in order to create financial, time, and geographic freedom. Powered Through Health is all that and more. To connect with Diane Solano, visit Senergy.ca. That's Senargy.ca.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. What a great show today, post-pandemic parenting. But we're doing it from a different lens. You know, Carrie Nail is an expert in the field of personality and Myers-Briggs, and more than that, she is a powerful, powerful coach. You know, part of what we've been talking about in this series is how do we find this level of simplicity within your complexity? And sometimes I do not think it gets more complex than the relationships we have between parents and children. And we see that as complex. Children see it as complex. Yet at the same time, there's a simplicity in what we want, how we want it, and when we want it. It just doesn't mean that we're on the same page with that. Carrie, the best place for people to find out more about you is your website, right?
Yes, it's carrienail.com, K-E-R-I-N-A-I-L.com, and you can contact me at carrie@carrienail.com. But it's all there on my website, and I'm happy to communicate with you directly. So, yes, please contact me either way.
I love now what we're talking about. You know, let's roll into, you know, let's move beyond intuitive or introvert, extrovert. Let's start to talk about, you know, what happens when you start to add some of these other structures. Mm-hmm. And we're going to take a look at all of these now in the remainder of the show. What happens when, let's say you're a feeling child and you have a thinking parent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's say that that's you. Or let's say perhaps that you are you're a parent and you have an intuitive child. So, Carrie, you're going to walk us through each of these right now because there's a certain way that we could learn about this where there's no one is broken, not the parent, not the child. This is just understanding. So walk us through these.
Well, just a quick review of the Myers-Briggs preferences. So the first one is where you get your energy. You either get it inward inside yourself, which is introvert,
or you get it outside of yourself by talking and being around people. That's extroverted energy. The next dichotomy is how you see things, your perception, and we call it sensing and intuition. So sensing is very in the moment, very practical, very detail-oriented, step-by-step, in the moment. And intuition is more big picture, sees patterns quickly, wants to know why, wants to know the concepts, is always looking at the possibilities, what's going to come ahead. And so just knowing that, and that's where you see a lot of miscommunication as well. So if you're a sensing parent, you tend to want to demonstrate to your children how to do things, how to touch it, how to nail something together, or how to play a game step by step. What are the rules? And if you have an intuitive child that just wants to daydream and imagine and turn materials and toys into, superheroes and a make-believe castle or something like that. And the sensing parent's going, but not how you play this game. You play this game this way, and here are the steps to playing it. So just remember that a sensing parent wants to teach a child how, and an intuitive child wants to know why. So lots of patience when a child's, but why? Why do you want to do this? Why do you do it this way? Why do you do it this way? And the parent just wants to go, well, because the rules say it's this. And so in all these scenarios, and that's one of the things, one of those articles we talked about at the beginning was patience, 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 and lots of deep breathing. And so what you want to do as a sensing parent is give your children the time to daydream. And listen with patience. Don't squelch their ideas. And also take their ideas. If you're trying to get them to work on their homework, how can you take those daydream ideas that they're thinking about and apply them to what's happening right now? What are you working on? So, it's like, okay, great. Those are, again, don't squelch. Just listen and acknowledge, wow, those are really great things to think about. Now, how do you apply that to the math homework you're working on right now or the essay you're working on right now? I don't know. Well, it's like, okay, well, let's come back. So it's just because of the sensing parent, we're so good at helping intuitive children implement and bring their ideas kind of back down to earth.
Yeah.
Sensing, I'm a sensing person, and we tend to start with ourselves first, to understand it ourselves first. That's why we have to touch it, see it, smell it.
Yeah.
Where people who are naturally intuitive, they look away from themselves first before even coming back. They're up in the clouds.
That's so true.
So coming back down to ground is like, wow, do I have to? And, of course, sensing parents, like, we're at the ground. We're below the ground. We're at the ground. So just knowing that and just go, let the child go. I mean, yeah, I have this conversation with all the intuitive people I know all the time. So just let me dream a little bit.
Mm. I do it all the time. And I think you've seen me do it where I'll get asked a question and I'll do something like this. And I have to tell you that if people don't know you, they think you're either ignoring them.
Mm-hmm.
And I've learned to say, just give me a minute. But even when I say that, it breaks up my, what am I trying to say? I so naturally just look away because what's going on in my brain, right? We all understood this about each other. People wouldn't think, wow, she just blew me off right there. No, mm-hmm. I'm just trying to wrap my mind around it, literally.
Especially if you're an introverted, intuitive person, which you are. So you're going to go, you need a minute of not talking to actually think about what's happening right then and there.
Yeah. It happened at lunch the other day with Jessica and Linda. But what the point is of this, and let's continue along this line with you. The point is, we're not broken. Right.
They don't understand each other.
Yeah, this is just a way to understand each other in very simple terms. Energy and perception so far. And so then, if you're an intuitive parent, parenting a sensing child, give them, especially if they're working on homework, give them a framework or a starting point. So intuitives like to start with a blank slate. Because of all the possibilities and creativity, you know, they can start, they love starting with a blank slate. Don't give me anything. I want to create it and figure it out. But a sensing child, they need a starting point. A blank piece of paper just fills a sensing child with anxiety. And so give them a starting point or a framework. And if they're stuck, try not to be a helicopter parent and figure it out for them. Reassure them versus rescuing them. And just say, if I can't help you, if you get stuck, what can you do? Can you ask the teacher? Oh, I don't want to ask the teacher. Well, why not? I'm afraid she'll get mad at me. Well, why would she get mad at you? And then you start going into helping them figure things out for themselves without doing it for them, which is what a sensing parent wants to do.
Right.
I'm going to give them step by step. So then you're at the point of listening to them and helping them cope with how to handle that. And one of the things, and the other thing too, as a sensing child, help them breathe. Help them, because what happens, they're in the moment, and it's from their point of view first. And so you're, as an intuitive parent, you know that there's possibilities. I don't think the anxiety level is as high with an intuitive parent because they know that there's something beyond in the moment, but a sensing child is like, but I have to do this now. I have to get this done. And if I don't get it done, my teacher's going to get mad at me. Well, let's just calm down. Let's do some deep breathing together. And you know what? I have seen from my younger nieces and nephews who are in their 30s, you know, with their young children now, teaching their children how to do deep breathing.
Mm-hmm.
And so just knowing that you can help them with that.
Yeah. Isn't this for so many people? We're talking about understanding but also changing some things of who we are, and I just want to make sure that folks know that, because if we have the first part, which is awareness, then if we had some tips and tools,
mm-hmm.
we're really relieving a lot of stress in a relationship between parents and children.
That's exactly, it's first understanding yourself and understanding your children's personalities, and if they're different than ours, there's some coping strategies that you can do to help both yourself and your child. Because remember, you have to put your oxygen mask on first.
Yes.
Before you put it on your child.
Yeah. I mean, as we take a look at these and we move down, you know, there's a lot of language here that people, when they hear it, they really, first of all, especially Myers-Briggs, is a huge misconception. But it's really important to understand other dynamics. You know, we're talking about, you know, the judging parent, the perceiving child, and vice versa. And, you know, let's start to put a few more of these together. And some of the examples you have, and also tips for people, are just beautiful. I mean, if you have a child that just does not have enough information to understand about going back to school, the answer is not going to be for them, just go back.
Mm-hmm.
They may want to know, well, what are the guidelines? Do we have guidelines?
Yeah.
You know, what's it going to look like? Can you tell me what it's going to look like?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how can you reassure me? But there are other aspects of this, too, that might be the reverse of things. What happens if your child's never on time? Does that mean that there's something wrong with your child? Talk about some of these others.
Okay. Well, that one, the time one, is more about the thinking and, or sorry, is how, sorry, it's the judging and perceiving dichotomy, which is the last dichotomy, it's about boundaries, time sensitivity. So J stands for judging, which doesn't mean a person's judgmental. It just means it's part of the formula of the Myers-Briggs four letters. But what it means is being very organized, structured, planful, wants to, like, has a checklist, wants to check it off and move on, wants to make a decision quickly and move on, where the other end of that is perceiving. That's the opposite. And that means open-ended, spontaneous, boundaryless, last minute, wants to look at all options before making a decision. So as a judging parent, parenting an open-ended child, you don't want to overwhelm. We tend to want to put a lot of structure in place for our children. And with an open-ended child, you have to be careful not to put too many structures into place. So that's where you need to really think about and focus on what are the important boundaries for this child. Perhaps it's making sure they go to bed on time, making sure that they turn off their social media at a certain point. But the rest of it, kind of let them go with the flow and just, you know, help them with those important boundaries instead of giving them a structure of every single minute of every single day.
But let's talk of the perceiving parent. Mm-hmm. Let's just talk about an example of this. Let's say you're an extrovert, a parent, a perceiving extrovert. Let's just say that's you. You know, you may be the person that in a minute or in a whim, you get up from your desk post-COVID, during COVID, and you have this fantastic idea. And you just like, hey, everybody, I got this fantastic idea. Why don't we play cards?
Mm-hmm.
What? This is news to me. It's like in the middle of my day. I'm like in the middle of something. You know, I mean, this is one of these things that if we understand it, and this is you as a parent, that one of the things you're not going to do is walk into the middle of the house and make this announcement, you know, with your introvert child that is perhaps maybe, you know, has that personality of judging that needs structure and control and wants you to plan ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And you burst out and say, I've got a great idea. Let's go play miniature golf.
Mm-hmm.
And you've just completely derailed, from your child's perspective, their flow,
yes,
their mojo.
Yeah,
they got their planning mojo on, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you don't understand why nobody wants to go.
Well, and that's why it's good to know this about yourself and your child, because there needs to be some boundaries. And so talking to your child about what are the most important things they need to get accomplished. And boundaries are hard for an open-ended parent. You still want to have fun, but be aware of boundaries that are needed. For instance, come up with a plan, you know, what's the most important to you and your child? Work with them to come up with a plan on what they need, and then set timers for yourself to remember. And just think about, you don't have to put a lot of structure in your day, but at least the minimum structure your child needs, and then somehow incorporate that into your day. And even if you don't have boundaries for yourself, create a little bit of structure, create a little bit of boundaries for what your child needs, and then set yourself reminders for that. Because judging children want to know what's going to happen and when. I just had my adult son out here for a while, and it was at lunch or in the mornings before he left for work. He'd be like, what are we having for dinner? What are we doing for dinner? Are we going out? Are we staying in? I'm like, well, and I'm a judging parent. And it's so funny. He and I kind of reversed our roles. And I'm like, I don't know, because I live with, you know, my husband's open-ended, my stepson's open-ended. And so I've just learned, you know, that they just like to go with the flow, and they're just like, yeah, we'll see how we feel at dinner. But my son was going, well, what are we going to have for dinner? What are we going to do? And I'm like, oh, okay, I need to start thinking about that again, just to make him feel more confident into how he wants to know how his day's going to look.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and we're talking about these as separate entities, let's just say.
Mm-hmm.
But when you put them all together, mm-hmm. especially in the Myers-Briggs, as you did the summary, when you put them all together, there are multifaceted ways to understand this. And that's why what I said earlier about, you know, the fact that you're teaching this again mm-hmm. is it may take some time to really look at the dynamics in the family and say, this is what's going on in the family.
Yeah.
Because it may be even more complicated than that. You know, you could have an introverted mom and an extroverted dad or vice versa, and the children could be split, and there you go.
Mm-hmm.
So you really have to understand this a little bit more. You know, the one other thing, too, let's talk about if we could, is we are now looking at how to understand how we are and then think about making adjustments. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think one of the things we just talked about with perceiving and judging is what if you have too much structure? You know, what if one of you has too much structure? What if it's like you just talked about where you plan everything out to a T, every minute of your vacation, everything about it,
mm-hmm.
and then something comes up? How do you learn to handle that?
Yeah.
You know, how do you change things? Because, boy, isn't that what we learned in the past 18 months? You've got to be adaptable here.
Yes, yes. And before, pre-pandemic, we could be, it was all about being organized all the time. And for judging parents, that's great because we like to organize everything. We like to put in all these activities for our kids. And so with the pandemic, you know, we had to sit still. That's hard for those of us that are extroverted and we like to get things done and to sit still. And we have to adapt, and we're not necessarily natural adapters. Judging parents are judging the preference of being organized and structured and wants to make a decision to move on. Adapting is a challenging for us. So perceiving people who are naturally open-ended, they always adapt. They know how to adapt. And so things you can think about as a judging parent is build time into your calendar. That's what I've done. I've had to learn to, because I draw like a ladder, and I'm like, checklist, 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 check it off, and yay. And then there's no time to be spontaneous. There's no time to deal with emergencies. There's, you know, and so I just build the sides of my ladder, and I put like three rungs in it. And those, I don't write anything on my calendar except for those three things. And if I get other things accomplished between those three, great. But I've also left myself space to let my child come in and go and have that opportunity. If they, at the you know last minute they want to come and talk to me about something, I don't want to blow them off. I want to be there. I want to be present and listen to them. And you can also help your children instead of you being the one organizing their time. You can help them by, oh, you know what? There's a bus that goes to school. I don't have to drive you every day. I don't have to yell at you every day. You're going to be late. Come on, we got to go. Oh, there's a bus. Ah, and you have an alarm. I think I'm going to let you get up and maybe even fix yourself breakfast. And, oh, maybe even get yourself to the bus. And after a couple times of being late, they'll know what they need to do. Yeah, so there are just simple things like that.
Yeah, yeah, and they're simple, and they're learning, and what they do is they allow for people to just be people. And what I mean by that is I can't say this enough. So often when we run into these personality differences, especially if it's a reoccurring thing, you know, I had two experiences in my corporate world. One was the knowing of, oh, I don't shut my door because I don't like you.
Mm-hmm.
But you think I shut my door because I don't want anything to do with you. I shut my door because I'm focused. And that's just for me. I'm in my little cave. I'm in my little manager cave in here.
Yeah.
But I learned through that feedback that people that come in walk by the door, and my team wanted to say good morning. Some of them wanted to stop by the door. And, yeah, I mean, so it's literally that one thing, Carrie, and this is my point, and really, you know, let's bring this home on mm-hmm. this point. That one bit of feedback from me, what a difference it made.
Mm-hmm.
Not just in my day, but in the relationship. Now, I will tell you, I had to make some adjustments. As an introvert and some other aspects of my personality, when I opened that door, and now I have four different people walking by, Mildred would stop by. Hi, Mildred. How are you? How are the children? Right. Okay. And as they came, at one point, they all came in one day at the same time and literally were in my room. It was so important to do it, but I had to make an adjustment on the other end.
Yes, exactly. So just understanding that and that's where the miscommunication or misstanding comes in. It's like, well, now look what happened. I opened my door and all these people are in here and they're taking all my energy, what little energy I have. Oh, wait a minute. I got to do something else to counteract that. So yeah. What am I going to do at the end of the day, or what am I going to do at lunch? Maybe okay. I need to go off by myself at lunch,
yeah.
You know?
Yep. Let's talk about this and really bring this home, because people hear us talking about the fact, and I think you referenced me as an introvert. No one believes I'm an introvert. They don't. And I really am. I mean, and I've shared my, you know, a little bit about my score. I've taken a Myers-Briggs several times. And the most important thing I want to share with people about this is a tool to help us understand each other, not to judge each other.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
And that's one of the most important things. You know, what can we say to those listening to really acknowledge that there's hope to be able to handle whatever parenting situation you have, post-pandemic or not, if they could just understand a few of things we're talking about today?
Yeah. Well, and that's why I'm so passionate about this topic. Anything Myers-Briggs related, especially I always find it helps understanding each other.
Yeah.
And it's because it transcends, the Myers-Briggs concept transcends all countries and cultures. I've been certified and recertified in three different countries, and I've used it in all those countries.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm like, it's so important to notice from the time your child is born.
Yeah.
To help and support them for who they are and understand who you are and what you need to do for each other. And that way we can all respond to life positively versus react to life negatively.
Okay, thank you. I mean, please go ahead and finish, because this is such a powerful message. You could not have predicted the past 18 months we've been in. You could not have predicted the level of miscommunication that we're now studying and reporting on.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't say enough to people that are listening, before you start judging, call Carrie.
Yeah.
And the reason I say this is they could learn, they could adjust. And if there's a way to save relationships just by this, isn't it worth it?
Oh, gosh. Yes, absolutely. Because one of my favorite quotes, which is also part of Maya Angelou's quote, is do the best we can under the circumstances we're in at the time until we know better, then do better. And once we know who we are at our core and who our children are at our core, and we understand these basic concepts and how you can apply them to your day-to-day life, then we're going to live in a better world. We're going to live in a more peaceful and positive world.
Carrie Nail, everybody. Carrie, thank you so much. And, you know, one of the things that I like to reference is one of my mentors, Matt James. Certainly, you know, Matt from NLP and so forth, but one of the most fabulous quotes that he ever shared was, whatever you think you are, you're more than that. But there's another version of it. Whatever you think your child is, they're more than that.
Mm-hmm. That's a great quote.
Yeah. Carrie Nail, everybody, please check out the website. Much more to come on this topic, carrienail.com, Nailed It Radio. This is great. I can't wait to see where you're going with this. Please help some parents and families. Carrie Nail, everybody. Thank you, Carrie.
All right. Thanks, Dr. Pat.
Yeah. For those introverts out there, there is hope. People will understand us. We'll see you next time.
You've nailed it. Thank you for listening to Nailed It Radio. Find your simplicity within your complexity with me, life coach Carrie Nail, and my co-host Dr. Pat on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I'm at my best when I'm helping others be their best. Tune in next time for more tips and stories on what it means to become whole and integrate into your true self. To subscribe to this show and get more information about how I can help you be your best, visit CarrieNail.com.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good Thursday to you, Ben and others, here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for around the town over on I-5 northbound just north of Grandview Road around miles 266. A recent incident partially blocking the right-hand of the lane. Good thing no medical aid, fire assistance, and fixed calls have arrived on the scene, and they're taking care of that blocking situation. Stay tuned. Coming up next, after the news and weather, it's another hour of the Transformation Talk Radio Network, the Dr. Pat Show, Talk Radio to Thrive By, and boss up to the next level of awesomeness with special guest host, health and fitness expert, Carissa Adkins. Stay tuned.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. The director of the CDC is pleading with Americans to come together to fight back against the coronavirus. Dr. Rochelle Walensky says we have a common enemy, and she mentioned the rapid spread of the Delta variant.
The Delta variant is spreading with incredible efficiency and now represents more than 83% of the virus circulating in the United States.
Walensky insisted folks should talk to their health care providers in addition to their friends and neighbors who have rolled up their sleeves. The Senate Majority Leader intends to pass two infrastructure bills before the August recess. Chuck Schumer says he intends to stick with it, even if it means late nights and weekends for senators. The New York Democrat said both bills will give a massive boost to the economy, ease inflation, and reduce income inequality. House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy is blasting President Biden on the economy. He said Biden was out of touch after watching part of Biden's town hall. The California Republican also talked about inflation, describing it as a tax on every single American. McCarthy explained the financial security of Americans is being destroyed by inflation. The Biden administration is taking a step today in its fight to rein in gun violence. The U.S. Attorney General is traveling to Chicago to unveil a set of new so-called gun strike forces. The aim is to choke off the flow of guns being illegally trafficked into urban areas. Meanwhile, more than 30 Chicago high schools have voted to redirect money spent on uniformed police officers to alternative behavioral and mental health supports. The CEO of Tesla says the company will likely resume accepting Bitcoin for car purchases. Musk said yesterday his car company will start accepting the cryptocurrency once again if he sees Bitcoin's trend of renewable energy usage at or above 50%. The Rolling Stones will be rocking out in front of crowds this fall. The legendary band thanked fans for their patience after announcing their upcoming tour. The Stones will first visit St. Louis September 26th before making stops in cities from coast to coast. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
Here are the major rules for all the KKNW online contests. Entries for our online contest can be completed on the announced website and will be accepted through the deadline published on the contest page. Winners will be selected at random from all eligible entries received. One entry per person. You could win event tickets, trip giveaways, or other prizes of similar value. To be eligible, you must be at least 18 years old, have not won in the last 30 days, and reside within the KKNW listening area. Complete contest rules are available at 1150kknw.com.
And let's go ahead and take a look now to Alternative Talk weather outlook for Thursday. A nice sunny day we have in store for us again today. High temperatures around 72 degrees. Tonight, mostly clear skies, lows dropping down to about 55. For Friday and Monday up into the weekend, more sunshine expected. High temperatures on the rise from the low 70s to the high 70s through the weekend. And again, mostly clear skies through the overnight. Low temperatures hovering in the mid to upper 50s.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hello, hello everyone. What's up? How are you today? My name is Carissa Atkins, and it is a real honor to be standing in again for the amazing Dr. Pat on the Dr. Pat Show. And over the next hour, I will be talking about all things health, fitness, and self-care related. I get asked questions all the freaking time about health, fitness, exercise, nutrition, confidence, habits, you name it, I get asked it. And today's show is going to be super special for me because today I'm going to be answering and giving you my perspective on some of the biggest, some of the juiciest health-related questions out there. So over the last couple of weeks, I have been encouraging people to write me in questions. We've been getting questions on the website, and so I've been collecting them. But I also want to encourage you guys, if you're listening and you think of a burning question that you want to ask me, I would love to be able to give you, again, my perspective and expertise on that matter. Now, again, we are talking all things health, fitness, motivation, mindset. So don't be bringing any 18-wheeler questions to me because I don't know them. All right. So if you are ready to boss up to the next level of awesomeness, are you ready to replace stress, overwhelm, exhaustion for health, happiness, and confidence? If you just answered yes today to that, you, my friend, are in the right place. Now, I'm talking to all the busy mamas and the awesome queens and the working divas out there. But trust me when I say this, you guys, my tips, my advice, my strategies have been proven to help anyone out there. So guys, don't you worry, I got your backs as well. So again, today I want to encourage you, if you've got questions, you can always call in, you can message in. The number, if you have a question, is 1-800-930-2819, and we will hopefully get your question in the lineup. So I'm not only answering questions today, but you guys, I'm giving away two of my books. It's Women Who Boss Up, an Amazon bestseller, by the way, and Expert Profiles Volume 4, another Amazon number one bestseller. So I've got some juicy gifts for you spread out throughout the show. So stay with me. I promise I won't disappoint. And my energy level is on point today, y'all. So hang on, buckle your seatbelts if that's you, and let's get ready. Okay, let's get ready. So like many of you, y'all, I wear several hats. I wear a lot of freaking hats. And I'm a working mama, right? I'm a military spouse. I'm a sister. I'm a daughter. I'm a friend. I'm a personal development junkie. Any personal development junkies in the house? That's me. We can relate. I am a health, life, and fitness coach. I'm an international speaker, a two-time best-selling author, the CEO of 365 Daily Hustle, and the voice behind Boss Up Babe Radio. And you guys, most recently, this is like the biggest secret. I shouldn't even be spilling it right now, but I just signed up to be the executive producer and creator of not one, not two, but three TV shows. So to say I'm just as busy as y'all, it's an understatement, right? I am literally just as busy as you guys between taking care of kids and doing my thing. I am loving life right now, and so many, so many exciting things are happening. So those three TV shows are going to be Between the Reps, Balsa Babe TV. That's right. We're going from radio to also TV. And, of course, I'm going to co-host with a good friend of mine. It's on a TV show, talk show radio, or talk show called Living Real with Clara and myself. So really quickly, though, I think the most important thing about me is that I'm a champion for women's health. It's my mission and my purpose in life to serve and help women boss up and get healthy. Again, don't worry, guys. I'm going to help you out, too. So besides being featured in all the major media networks like ABC, CBS, NBC, MarketWatch for my expertise, y'all, I was just honored with an amazing email like a couple weeks ago. Entrepreneurs Herald just named me top 20 life coach to look out for in 2021. Whoop, whoop, so excited for that. And all that just means that I kind of know what I'm freaking talking about, right? Like, I kind of have a passion and energy for all things health related. Okay, I'm going to be real with you, though. The person you hear and see right now, I wasn't always that person. I know that. It's hard to believe. Like, it's hard to believe this, but I wasn't always energetic, like, awesome, fit, or healthy. In fact, 11 years ago, I struggled with finding true happiness. I struggled with finding balance and purpose, and I struggled with finding self-love. My weight got out of control, and as my weight increased, everything else in my life suffered. I don't know if you guys have ever felt like that. Oh, I was depressed. I was ashamed of my body. I had zero self-worth, and my confidence, it was fading by the wayside, like gone, bye-bye, okay? So in 2011, weighing in at 213 pounds and feeling pretty miserable about my life, I had a rock bottom moment that led me to a major wake-up call. I'm talking like 4 a.m. wake-up call for all of you people who love to sleep in. Like one of those wake-up calls that hits you hard. There I was sitting in the doctor's office. She goes, Carissa, you're 5 foot tall. You're 213 pounds. You're considered obese. Yeah, this was like a punch straight to the gut. I knew I hated the way I looked. I was embarrassed about my size. I tried to hide in every family photo. But who was she to straight up call me obese, the O word? I never, ever thought I would be hearing that, ever. She said, if you don't change your lifestyle habits today, you might not be around for your kids 10 or 15 years later. That was a huge epiphany. But it wasn't quite the wake-up call. You guys, I left that doctor's office, and I was mad. I was embarrassed. I was upset. I was bawling. I was smoking, chain-smoking so many cigarettes. And when I got home, I started drinking right away. But the next morning came the true 4 a.m. wake-up call, right? So there I am. I'm sitting on the couch. And for the first time in my entire life, I looked over at a picture of my mom, and I saw myself as her. And not the boss babe mom, not the hustling mom, not the loving, caring mom. The mom I saw was the overweight mom, the 320 pounds, the lack of energy, the lack of life, constantly seeing my mom stress, the cancer, the diabetes, you name it. My mom went through it. And for once, I saw myself as if I was her. And in that moment, I decided to boss up and do something about my health. I had to do something. I mean, I didn't want my kids 10 years from now cleaning up after me, you know, taking me to and from doctor visits and having to take a break and rest just while we're walking through Disney. That was not my idea that I wanted. That was not the vision I wanted for my life. That wake-up call, that epiphany that I had on the couch sparked something so deep inside me that it pushed me to become a better version of me. One day, one habit, one meal, one pound at a time, I began to lose that unwanted weight, you guys, and I slowly reclaimed my best life ever. It's crazy to just think back and just like I not only did I have the physical transformation, but I've had the mental transformation. My confidence got a total boost up, and now I am even teaching, you know, my proven strategies to other women. It's a full 360 transformation, and I freaking love my life, you guys. I am high on life right now. We were just talking earlier about, you know, who drinks Red Bulls and coffees and you know, how we get our energy, and it was so cool to hear that, you know, people get their energy from meditation and they get their energy, you know, from coffee or whatever it is, but I get my energy because I'm so healthy, okay? I get my energy from that. And what's really important about not just losing weight, because anyone can lose weight, but more importantly, I've been able to sustain that weight loss. And when you can sustain it, you feel incredible. You feel unstoppable. You feel like a total boss babe, whether you own a business or not. All right. So over the last couple of days, I mentioned I've been collecting questions from all of you guys, listeners, between interviews and fans and whatnot. I've been just writing down amazing questions, and they're all so good. So we are going to try and get through them. But again, we're going to take two breaks. We're going to give away two books. And I'm going to give you, obviously, some keys to success when it comes to bossing up and getting healthy. So the first question that I got, it was from Susie out of Ohio. So first off, Susie, if you're listening, because I told you I'd be answering your question, if you are listening, thank you for submitting a question. But her question reads, Carissa, who inspires you to keep pushing on? And oh my gosh, this is such a great question because, yeah, we can't always be our own cheerleader, right? We can't always find motivation and drive within us. And sometimes we have to, like, look to our people, look to our tribe. So I think this is, like, there's two answers. Number one is my clients, honestly, I know it's cheesy, but they inspire me every day. These women are taking strides that are so uncomfortable for them, and they are bossing up in such a big way. I mean, I've got women who have bought their very first full-length mirror because they hated the reflection so badly. I've got women who have never, ever tried a group fitness class in their life because of a fear of judgment, and they are walking in with confidence. I've got women who, for the first time, say, I don't feel guilty when I eat food. Huh, right? Like, they inspire me. Their work inspires me. And then, of course, the second person that continues to inspire me is my mama. My mama, if you guys didn't know that one was coming, it is. And I get so emotional when I think about all the things that my mama taught me, right? She taught me how to be a boss babe. She taught me how to be real. She taught me how to love kids and take care of them. She taught me what a good wife kind of should be doing and being like for her partner. But most importantly, she taught me how to take care of herself with her death. You guys, I lost my mom a little over 11 years ago because of cancer. It took her life. And still to this day, she inspires me. She inspires me with everything that she's done. And I know if she's in this present space right now, I know she's looking down. She'd be like, hell yeah, girl, keep rocking it, right? She's one of my biggest cheerleaders. I know that for a fact. All right, let me shake off that stuff because it's heavy, heavy, heavy. And let's go into a more lighter question. So this question is from Ashley. She says, what are your biggest challenges that you have faced with getting healthy and staying fit? And how did you overcome them? And I think it's such a great question because not only did she ask a question, she wants to know how I did it. So I think the biggest thing that I struggled and struggle still to this day with is nutrition. And yes, I have a certified nutritionist on my staff. I've taken lots and lots of nutrition courses. But you know, y'all, you can read everything and like you can check all the boxes, but you've got to figure out what works for you. So nutrition really is, it's all about figuring out what foods are right for you and for your body. And for me, just as I thought I could, like, I figured out how to eat to lose the weight and keep it off, like healthy foods that give me energy, But then 2 years ago in 2019, I got smacked with the diagnosis of Hashimoto's. And along with Hashimoto's came with about five different high sensitivities to food. We're talking gluten. We're talking dairy, eggs, high lactanes, sesame. Like, there's so many things that I have realized that as my body has changed over the years, that so is my nutrition. It's needing to change. And if you're listening and you're like, oh, my gosh, yeah, I used to be able to have milk, and now I drink milk and my stomach's upset. That's your body saying, hello, something's not quite right. So it's constantly just looking at my nutrition. Is this working for me? Is what I'm doing right now working for me? All right, you guys, I'm going to finish one more two-part to this question, and then we're going to take a quick break. So the second struggle that I have the most is loving myself. And I know that sounds weird, but I thought a smaller number on the scale would make me happy. But newsflash, you guys, health isn't all about the number on the scale, okay? It's not about the weight you lose. And how I learned to heal and start to love myself is I had to first go into my childhood. I had to heal my childhood and teenage, drama, right? Trauma. I had to learn to forgive others, not for them, but for me. I had to turn that pain into power. And you guys, I have done it, and I cannot wait to share more about that. But you guys, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back from break, we are going to do a book giveaway. Plus, we're going to continue to answer all your health-related questions. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Good morning.
Can't get enough of Eyes Soul Radio? Join psychic medium Jamie every Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. Take a deeper look at the raw side of spirit. Nothing is off limits. Connect with lost loved ones and explore these vulnerable subjects with the compassionate guidance of psychic medium Jamie. You are not alone. Eyes Soul, Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific, only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you ready to find out who you really are? Are you ready to have fun and listen to the soul part of yourself? Indulge in a deeper meaning with Laura Goldstein, host of Coffee with the Universe. This show will awaken that true self hidden deep within you and will get you energized on who you were created to be. So go ahead, grab your cup of joe and experience Coffee with the Universe with Laura Goldstein on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome to Soul Activation Podcast, a world-class broadcast of insight and inspiration with the renowned healer and coach, Suzanne Alexandria. In this series, she dives deep into the magical sea of you, to the place in you that's ready to activate. Tune in live every second and fourth Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharge phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-1757. Make an appointment today or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Have you heard about shifting the collective vibration and consciousness on the planet? Join me, Kimberly Barrett, on the Sharing Love and Light show every first and third Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern at TransformationTalkRadio.com to explore the depth of vibration and consciousness on our planet and learn how you can shine your love and light. To learn more, visit SharingLoveAndLightShow.com.
The way that you talk, I can make no mistake, and everything will make
go, mom, stop, everybody. You're gonna take him again.
Woo-hoo! That was a great break, much needed. Thank you, guys. All right, we're back, and we are getting ready to do our first book giveaway. If you are just kind of tuning in, get ready, because we are talking all things health, fitness, and exercise with me, your host, Carissa, today, standing in for Dr. Pat. So today's book that we are giving away, it's my COVID baby, you guys. I was reached out by the publicist, and she said, Carissa, you've got a story. And I was like, is my story good enough for your book? And she's like, absolutely. And so she said, you know, I'm looking for 12 women who are ready to boss up and do something different. And I've always wanted to write a book, and I figured this would be a great first stepping stone to my solo book. It turns out it was a stepping stone to another co-authored book, which is another stepping stone for that real solo book coming up. But Women Who Boss Up is the perfect book for any boss or boss babe in the making. It is truly, there's 12 to 14 of us that have all collaborated, and we are sharing and spilling our biggest keys to our success. We are not all in health and fitness. We've got doctors. We've got marketing people out of Australia. It is an international bestseller book. Like I mentioned earlier, Amazon picked it up. You can buy it, of course. You can buy your digital copy on Amazon. If you want an autographed copy, we're about to give one of those away right now. Or you can go to 365dailyhustle.com, go to the shopping cart, and find yourself this book. All right, in order to win, you do have to call in, be the first to call in or message us on Facebook with the words hashtag boss up. And the number to call in is 1-800-930-2819. That, again, is 1-800-930-2819. And use the words boss up to claim your free book. I will sign it and get it off to you in the mail this week. I actually have about 6 other books to get in the mail. So I would love to send you that copy. Call in or use the Facebook chat and message us with the words boss up. All right, we are back, and we have a great question. It came from Cheryl out of Toronto. So Toronto in the house. Welcome, Cheryl. Thank you for listening today, and thank you. Thank you for your question. I love it. Her question is, what do you think keeps – this is such a good question. Love it. She said, what do you think keeps people stuck from achieving their health goals? The reason why I love it is because I used to be one of these women, right? I mean, I did mention I was 213. I didn't get there. Like, I didn't just pop up and always been overweight. So I used to be a woman who always got stuck. And I also, of course, work with women who feel stuck in a rut, and they don't know how to get out. They don't know how to start. They don't know how to, you know, get themselves from A to B without feeling super stressed out and overwhelmed. And so it's really important to me. We got this question over break, and I just quickly wrote down because I wanted to give you some great advice for this one. So tip number one is I see the biggest mistake people make is not having any clarity with what you want. So many women will create like vague goals in fear of like not really wanting to put a number out there, because what if they don't miss it, or what if they don't hit that goal, right? Then we feel like failures. And so really I would encourage you to get clear on what you want, okay? Get clear for what your life is going to look like when you do X, whether that's lose weight or get a healthy relationship to food, whatever that looks like. But most people don't know what they want to do. They set vague goals, and guess what? Vague gives you vague results. The second part is they think that they have to do it alone, right? That they're all alone in this process. And the fact is that you're not. I mean, you've got people like me out there that you can follow. Like, I'm literally giving free health advice all day long, my email blasts, everything. There's tons and thousands of coaches out there. There's mentors. There's your friends. So the fact that we feel alone is like the first sign of like, okay, we need to like be asking for help right now, because I'm feeling stuck and I'm feeling alone.
So I just want to remind you, if that's you, you're not alone. You always have someone to talk to. You can always pick up the phone and call me if you want. Okay, the third thing is not knowing why they want to achieve their goals. So they get stuck in this rut because they've lost their way. They've forgotten why they want to lose the weight. They forgot why they need to get out of financial debt. And it's always easy to go backwards. It's so hard to keep pushing forward. But when you have a crystal clear why on where you want to go, you guys, that will light the path. That will light the path for you, okay? So figuring out your why is going to be really important to help get you out of that stuck state. The fourth thing is, guys, I don't know about you, probably true, who knows, chime in, feel free if you want, but women, we tend to overcomplicate everything, right? You say, Carissa, will you bring a fruit bowl to the party? And you know what I do? I go out and I buy like 20 different types of fruit, and like I get the melon ball and I like create this whole beautiful dish, right, to show up with this gorgeous outdone fruit platter. And we just overcomplicate it. We take 20 steps in order to, you know, when we could have just taken two for it. So when I was 213, I was shitting all over myself. I was like, I should be doing this. I should be doing that. I could be doing this. I need to be doing that. And there was just so much stuff out there to do that I felt overwhelmed, and I just stayed stuck instead. That was the easy thing to do. So don't overcomplicate it. I literally live by this rule. I teach this to my clients every day, is press the easy button. Like, what would life be like if life was easy? That's a writer downer, and to just sit and journal on that, I think, is good. Like, what would it be like if I could let life be easy? It's huge. And then I think that the last thing that people really lack and they feel stuck is they don't have a plan, right? Like, think about it. Think about going to the grocery store and not knowing what you're buying or what meals you're going to be preparing. And I know some of you do that, but you probably, like, wander the aisles and waste time and energy, and then you probably overbuy because you don't have a plan. Go to the grocery store with a plan, a bullet point list, right? And you're in and out of there so much faster. So, like, that's a tip, right? But, like, same thing with exercise. Don't just go to the gym and wander around and then make your way back to the treadmill because you don't know what to do. Have a plan. Have a plan. It's so, so incredibly important. In fact, having a plan is, it helps me feel free, like I've got freedom again. All right, so great question. Thank you so much, Cheryl from Toronto. That was awesome. Next question, Ashley. She says, what kind of diet are you on? She actually said, oh, my God, girl, your body looks amazing. What kind of diet are you on? But I just took out the first part. And I laugh at this because I get this a lot. I get this at the gym. I get this at the grocery store. I get this when I go to speaking events. And I laugh because I'm not on a diet. You guys, I am kind of anti-dieter, and it's kind of funny because people will be like, oh, what are your thoughts on keto, or what are your thoughts about this? And I'm like, actually, I don't have any thoughts. Like, I find that you've got to find what works for you. It goes back to nutrition. You got to figure out what works for you. So I actually bounce, if I had to put something to my eating plan, right, I actually bounce from eating for my macros to intuitive eating. And macros are just pretty much like a nice word for, you know, proteins, carbs, and fats. So when I was competing for the Miss Health and Fitness 2021, I, of course, wanted to look ripped and in shape. And so I went back to the macros, right? We in order to look like this, you need to follow these macros. Simple, easy to do. And now that I'm out of that competition, I always go back to intuitive eating. Now, if you have never heard of the word intuitive eating, I'm going to drop some bombs on you because I love intuitive eating. Intuitive eating is simple and it's fun and it puts you back in control of the food. Hello, control. We all wish we had so much of it, and hello, newsflash, you can have it. All right, so intuitive eating really teaches us to switch our mindset around diet, first off. We don't you know, we don't aim to be on a diet because diet means deprivation, it means boring, blah, and no queen wants that. So instead, it asks you to really tune in to your own body. It asks that, it encourages you to honor your hunger and fullness. It encourages you to figure out which foods give you energy versus takes energy away from you. We've all had the plate of pasta and two bites too many, and now we're like in a food coma. I don't know about you guys, but I have been to some restaurants and I have needed to sleep because I was so full. I'm like, oh, that's when I wake up, I'll probably feel way better. And then I take a nap because I can't stand how full that makes me feel. So really mastering those are going to be key for you. But intuitive eating is also healing your relationship with food, right? Food is not good, nor is it bad. I can't have gluten doesn't mean it's bad. It makes my body react. Therefore, I'm choosing not to eat certain foods. So what's good for me is bad for you, and bad for you is good for me. See what I'm saying here? And then it also really encourages you to be more mindful. So if you're that person who literally is like just constantly snacking all day and you have no idea all of the food you've just consumed because you're mindlessly eating, it really asks you to be more intentional with your food. So again, the reasons why I'm not a fan of diets is because they cause a lot of stress and they take a lot of brain power for you to sit and think about what can I eat, how much of it can I eat, when can I eat it, like instead just listen to your body. Another reason why I don't like it is because it's not sustainable. Again, if a client comes to me and wants to drop 20 pounds, I could put her on a crazy diet and give her a workout routine like nobody's business. She's going to drop that weight, believe it or not. But I am all about teaching lifestyle habit changes because the doctor gave me that slap across the face, remember, and said, Carissa, lifestyle changes. This is not a sprint. Being healthy is a marathon. And you should enjoy the process of getting healthy. You shouldn't hate what you're doing. Another reason why I don't like diets, two more, and then I'm going to get off the diet thing because I could, like, have a whole show on dieting. But they make you feel terrible, you know, about yourself. You're like, oh, I can't have that. Therefore, I probably shouldn't go out for happy hour with the girls because I'll be tempted and then everyone's going to make fun of me or blah, 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 right? It's terrible. They make us feel like a failure because we do really good at first. And then guess what? It's not sustainable, so then we quit, and then we run back to our fat girl jeans, and we feel bad about that. We feel guilty that we couldn't stick to something. But it's not your fault. Those diets are not set up to stick to them forever, right? They're a diet, short term. It's like a Band-Aid, right, for a giant-ass cut. You can't go just get a little baby Band-Aid. You got to go to the emergency room and get everything sutured up the right way. And then, of course, the last thing is that it definitely kills your metabolism, you guys. That yo-yo dieting effect is just a killer for your metabolism. So great question on diets. I love talking about diets. Statistics are insane out there, but we're going to move on. So Dixie, I love that name, so cute, Dixie, she said, at the beginning of the year, I am super excited to eat healthier, work out, and to tell myself that this is the year that's going to be different. And then March rolls around, and I notice myself not carried anymore. How do I stay motivated? You guys, I'm going to give you two of the five tips on how to stay motivated, and then we're going to take a quick break, and I want to encourage you to come back for the last three tips because they are off the chain. All right, tip number one goes back to that clarity, right? Clarity in what you want and why you want it is going to be huge for you. Get a vision. Paint a vision inside your head of what you want, and then figure out why you want it. And I'm not just talking like surface level why. I mean, who doesn't want to look better? But I'm talking dig deep. Why? I didn't want to die. I didn't want to have cancer. I didn't want my kids to be cleaning up the hair off the floor or out of the shower drain. I didn't want that for them because, y'all, that's what I went through. So you've got to figure out your why. Because you've got the good one when it motivates you every single day. When that alarm goes off, you just get right on up. The second step for that is you've got to shift your mindset. instead of going from like, how quickly can I lose this weight? Like at the beginning of the year, like everyone's like, I want to lose weight, or I want to get financially free, or I want to pay off debt. And they try and do it so fast. It's not about how fast we can go. It's about who you become in the process. You've got to fall in love with the process. I've said that before. I'm going to say it again. I love getting up at 4 a.m. and going to the gym because it makes me mentally, physically, and emotionally stronger, right? I love my spiritual practice and meditating every day. And all of this wouldn't, like, I wouldn't have found all of that had I looked for a quick and easy way out. Does that make sense? All right, you guys, we are going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back with the final three tips that I'm going to give Dixie for how to stay motivated throughout the year. Plus, we are giving away a second book. It's called Expert Profiles. More to come on that. Let's take a quick break. Are you ready to get big and live your life out loud? Tune in to Get Big Out Loud Radio, exploring life through the lens of curiosity and compassion. With me, Carrie Knudsen, joining Dr. Pat live every second Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I will offer ideas to transform what you are thinking into conscious action. If you want to get big and live your life out loud, visit me at KnudsenSpeaks.com. Have you heard about shifting the collective vibration and consciousness on the planet? Join me, Kimberly Barrett, on the Sharing Love and Light show every first and third Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern at TransformationTalkRadio.com to explore the depth of vibration and consciousness on our planet and learn how you can shine your love and light. To learn more, visit SharingLoveAndLightShow.com.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack, and I'd love to tell you about the latest technology of the Volara Company. I've been using the Volara Company equipment, the air machine, since 1992, and I have found them to be totally successful in killing mold, mildew, and keeping your house fresh and clean. If you'd like more information on it, you go to MaryJaneMack.com or call our office at 888-777-4232.
I'm Carrie Nail from Nailed It Radio. Understanding our personality preferences can be huge in conquering miscommunication with others. For example, people who prefer to take in information through their five senses tend to see things in practical detail. And people who prefer to take in information intuitively see patterns in the big picture. And so a great strategy for those who prefer sensing is to group detailed thoughts and written communication into three headlines so as not to overwhelm the intuitive person with too many details. And people who prefer intuition should be direct, don't assume, and take time to group random big ideas into three groups so as not to overwhelm the sensing person with vague possibilities. I specialize in helping people understand these differences so you can take them into every aspect of your life to thrive. For more information, you can visit my website, KerriNail.com. That's KerriNail.com.
You know, marriage is not always easy, but skills that improve communication go a long way. Tune in to the Relationship Rehab Show, Recovering Happiness in Your Love with Nancy Landrum and Dr. Pat each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Nancy is an author and teacher empowering couples to create and sustain loving marriages. Learn to listen, speak, and handle conflict with respect so your love can flourish. To learn more about Nancy and her work, visit NancyLandrum.com.
That's a good song. I was jamming it. Oh, all right, you guys, welcome back. Oh, my goodness. We are are back with the last half of the show. Time flies when you are having fun and talking about health and exercise and fitness. And today we're answering questions from all of you. And we kind of stopped. We went at break with, we stopped with the last three things that can really help you stay motivated on your journey kind of around that New Year's time. Dixie asked the question. She said, at the beginning of the year, I get super excited. I'm all jazzed up, right? She's super motivated. And then come March, she's like, okay, what's next? I don't even care about this anymore. And I think that that's a huge thing for a lot of people. I used to feel it for sure, so I relate. But I gave the first two tips on how to really stay motivated on your health and fitness journey. That was clarity and then shifting your mindset. So the last three, are pretty juicy. I want to go back to having a plan. I think that that's important. So if you set a goal at the beginning of the year and, you don't have an actual sustainable plan to get you there, you'll eventually, of course, get bored or run out of ideas or whatnot. So, you guys, don't just think about the goal you want to achieve, but break down the milestones that by this month I want this, and this month I need to do that. I literally just did that the other day. I did a mid-year planning, and I rewrote out my five-year plan from my five-year goals, and on the top of the line was all the goals, right, the three or four bullet points that I want to achieve that year. And then below the line was the action steps that it was going to take in order for me to achieve those goals. So I like to break everything, like the main goal, down into bite-sized pieces that is totally doable. So have a plan. And then know that when things get tough, I'm going to go back to the plan. The fourth thing that I would like to talk about is environment. And I think the environment's really good, and it's part of it, right? I'll be honest, setting up your environment for success sets you up for success. So if you're someone who's trying to lose the weight and yet you have, Ben and Jerry's in the freezer, you have gummy bears in, on the counter, you have M&M's still from, who knows when in the candy dish, get rid of that crap. Set yourself up for success. I mean, I wouldn't expect to hire a plumber to come, unclog a toilet and he doesn't bring all of his tools that he needs. He's got to have the plan. He's got to set it, come to the environment and have all the tools he needs. So really think about what tools do you need to set up and, to set yourself up for success. Because it's not just environmental. It's what do I physically need to take with me to the gym so that I'll feel prepared? What do I need X, Y, and Z? What has to happen in your environment to make life easier? Because discipline runs out. Motivation will run out. You've got to set your environment up for success. And I saved my favorite one for last, accountability. You guys, I love talking accountability as a coach. I am a lot of people's accountability partners, including, myself. But accountability is key. Okay, we all know what we want to do. We can then all figure out how we need to do it. But to hold yourself accountable is really, really tough to do. And we cannot always rely on our partners to do that, because sometimes accountability shows up in not so fun ways, right? If my husband was like, babe, you told yourself you didn't want to eat, crappy this year, and here you are eating crappy. I'm going to take offense to that, and I'm going to get mad, and it's going to start a conversation, when in reality, he's just trying to be really sweet. He's just trying to help me reach my goals, right? But we're going to take that conversation to heart. So get yourself an accountability partner that can literally come in from the outside. And I'm not just talking to coach, you guys, although coaches have coaches. I truly believe that I need a coach in order for me to, rise to the top. But, I think you need someone that can hold your hand, that can be your cheerleader, that can encourage you, that can support you, that can push you up to the next level. And speaking of up to the next level, if you're looking for a gym accountability partner, do not ask your best friend Sally, who is also your neighbor, who also has five kids, who also has a problem getting to the gym. I know you feel comfortable with Sally, but Sally may not also be the best motivator for you, because Sally's still struggling herself. I want to encourage you to find your maverick. Find someone who is 10 steps ahead of you. If you're trying to food prep, don't find someone else who's Googling how to food prep either. Find a food prep ninja, right? Find someone who already knows how to do that and does it well. Don't be afraid to walk up to somebody in the gym and say, hey, you're killing it. You clearly know what you're doing. Would you mind giving me some pointers? Would you mind helping hold me accountable? I have met so many amazing friends that way. Like literally I've gone up to girls and I'm like, oh my God, girl, your arms are way better than mine. Like I'd love to work out with you. And she's like, okay, right? And then we become besties. So find yourself a maverick, you guys. All right. So I promised after we finished answering that question that we were giving our second book away. And this book, I've never given one away yet on this show. It's called Expert Profiles, Volume 14. It's Conversations with Influencers and Innovators. It is a business bestseller. In this book, I give definitely keys to my success when it comes to life, business, and health. So it's huge. It was another collaborative book. And in order for you to get one of these books for free today, you do have to call in or message the word expert. Hashtag expert is the magic word for this one. And that number is 1-800-930-2819. There you guys, the first one to call in or to type the word expert is taking home this book. I'd love to autograph you one and get it out there to you. Whew. All right, we've got just a little bit of time left, so I'm going to scroll through. I'm going to maybe finish. Maybe we might get to two, but I want to get to this last one because she's from Nebraska, and that's my original hometown. So Sarah in Nebraska, thank you so much. Day-to-day look like? How do you balance out being such a busy mom and entrepreneur? You guys, you can see why I picked these questions because I love them. I love talking about this stuff. So let's just break it down. We've got a little bit of time. I want to break down what I do like every single day. And I literally, when I thought about this question, I was like, wow, I am a creature of habit. There's no reason why or no wonder why my clients will call me the queen of habit change. They're like, girl, you're the queen of habit change, right? And I'm like, oh, stop it. But when I was asked this question and I really thought about it, I'm like, I live by my habits, routines, and rituals. So let me just dive in a little bit about my golden hour. I name everything. It's just kind of something silly I do, but it helps me remember things. So it's my golden power hour in the morning. All right, 3:45, the alarm goes off. I get up, I wake up, I go work out. I'm home by 6 a.m. I quickly drink a protein shake to get protein in my body so that I can start repairing those muscles. And then as I'm walking up to my bedroom to go get ready and shower for the day, I give my daughter a door knock. She typically will be like, uh-huh, and then falls back asleep. And then after my shower, I go knock on her door one more time. So by 7:30, I am downstairs in the kitchen preparing breakfast for her and my husband, because I love that. That's part of being a mom, is I want to still feel like I'm showing up for them. So I make their breakfast. We've already food prepped all of our food, my daughter's and mine and my husband's. I'm a food prep ninja. So if you're looking for one, I have lots of blogs written about that. But yeah, by 8, I'm taking my daughter to school. By 8:30, I'm home. And by 8:45, I am starting my spiritual practice. Literally in my calendar, it says spiritual power hour. Now, we talked a lot about this during the break and pre-show about meditation and stuff, but my spiritual hour, it doesn't all just include meditation, because I get not a lot of people that's like, not your jam, you just haven't realized it yet because it's really awesome. But my spiritual hour, at the end of the day, it's an hour that's dedicated to me before I start work. Okay, so it gets me in the right headspace. So sometimes I read. Sometimes I meditate, sometimes I'm journaling, sometimes I'm just doing thinking time, sometimes I'm filling out in my want journal. I have a little journal behind me here, and I just sit and I ask myself, what do I want? And it could literally be like, a turkey sandwich, or it could be I want a $20,000 month. It doesn't matter what it is I throw in that journal. But that's what I do for a good solid 45 minutes to an hour before I even start my workday. I'm pretty proud of that because it has spent me years to learn to let go of checking email and scrolling through social media before I've even set my intentions for the day. Another fun little hour or a little fun thing that I do, it's a ritual that I do every day to kind of end my workday. It kind of seals the workday being done, is that I get up and I go over to my whiteboard and I write down like two or three things that I was grateful for or that I call my weekly wins. So every day there's like, oh, Sally lost 10 pounds, or my new podcast radio is up, or, you know, it doesn't matter, hired my VA. It doesn't matter what it is, but if it made me feel good, it makes the board. So that's kind of like the end of the day ritual. Some of the other cool things that I do throughout the week that's like literally always on the calendar, it's a habit, it's behavioral now, is Wednesday I plan my meals, Friday afternoon I plan my upcoming week, Sunday I plan my workouts and I food prep. And then before bed, I literally, you know, meditate and I drink my protein and I take my makeup off. Like, I have routines. And all of this to say, you guys, I know it sounds exhausting. It's like being so structured, but through structure allows me to have freedom. There's not a day that I wake up that I'm like, I don't feel in control, or I feel in control, right? That sense of structure gives that to me. All right, last question, and I've got time for it. Farah from Texas, she said, I bounce from diet to diet. I see some results, but then I bounce right back. What advice would you give me so that I can finally lose the weight? Start small. Besides getting off your diet, start small. When I was 213, I picked one habit, and I worked on that, and then I picked the second habit, right? I took one day, one time, 1% at a time. And I got it. Every day I'm like, Carissa, just 1% better than yesterday. That's all I literally live by that 1% rule. Whew, we are, I don't think there was any other questions that came in. I'm trying to think if there's been a fun question I've asked since we've got just a couple of minutes before the show ends. You guys, if you are, right, if you're like I love this girl, if you're picking up on my vibe, I would love to invite you to learn more about me. You can find me on my website. It's 365dailyhustle.com. You can find me on Instagram. That's 365.daily.hustle. You can find me on Twitter. That's 365dailyhustle number one. And, of course, if you're looking for someone who's positive, like, all the time, friend request me. That's Carissa Atkins, right? And I'm not talking Atkins like the diet. No, I am way better. I'm Atkins, A-D-K-I-N-S. But you guys, you're going to notice that I just love helping support women. I love helping people become healthy, whether it's on a stage speaking to thousands, whether it is talking like this on a radio show, or even coaching my awesome mamas. I just love helping babes boss up. I know you guys can probably feel that and pick up on that. So let me kind of end with this. If you are looking for a coach, if you're looking for a no BSer type coach that can really get you from where you're at today and where you want to go when it comes to your health, I can do that. I've got a proven system. I've got a 10-week transformational program that works on your subconscious mind and your conscious mind. And, of course, we help you set up the habits and the environments and all the good stuff that I've been sharing with you. Plus, it's that kick butt accountability that every single person needs. Oh, my gosh. A little bit about the Boss Up Babe radio show. I go live on Transformation Talk Radio. .com every other Tuesday. So it is the second and the fourth Tuesday of every month at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I go live on Boss Up Babe Radio. And things that we talk about on Boss Up Babe Radio is all things life, health, and business, right? It's my goal on that show to bring you expert interviews, advice, tips, strategies to help you not just show up, boss up, but also thrive It's your responsibility, and all it takes is for you to listen in to that radio show. I'd love to have you join me there. So with that, you guys, whew, I'm excited. It's been a pleasure to be hosting on the Dr. Pat Radio Show. So ladies, bosses, queens, and mamas, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you found today's show empowering, inspiring, and motivating, please let the network know. If you have other questions that you would like me to answer, definitely shoot me a DM, send me an email, get a hold of me. I'd be happy to help answer any health-related questions you have. That's all I have for you guys today. I'm going to end this show just about 30 seconds early. You guys, I just want to leave you with one final thought. You know, you changing your life, it takes ownership. So take some ownership today. If you need to live your best life, boss up. Take that moment of courage and say, I need help. I don't have to do this alone. And Carissa is the babe that I want to work with. All right, you guys, thank you so much. Have a great afternoon. Stay thriving, stay healthy, and of course,